Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Sunday night service here at Calvary Baptist Church in Powder Springs. And thank you for tuning in this evening. We love you, and what a joy and an honor and privilege it is to be able to stand one more time and minister unto you. And if you are with us in person this morning, thank you for coming. And I hope that you were blessed this morning. We were able to be here and to share some things in the scriptures from the life of David, and how that at one time, among many times, I'm sure, that David, King David, grew discouraged in his life, in his walk with the Lord. And yet David, when there was no one else around, David encouraged himself in his God. And we seen this morning how that things changed, and that David was restored fully. And church, I wanted you to know this morning, and I still want you to know tonight, I want to echo that truth, that just to encourage yourself in the Lord your God, and He has a way of making all things abound to you. He will give you grace. He will give you strength. I'm not promising that He'll give you everything you want, but I am promising He'll give you everything you need, and He'll be your dearest friend you ever had. And you know that. You can testify of that. But we do want to welcome you tonight. Tonight is a brand new service, and we're needing the hand of the Lord afresh and anew in a very special way tonight, because we do want to minister to you. You are at your home, your place, and with your families and possibly friends. And we just want to be a help to you tonight. So do help us pray that we can achieve that. We have tonight Brother Randy, and he's going to be singing a special, playing a special for us in just a moment. So you pray for him. And I just ask if you would continue to remember little Ryder Hancock that we requested prayer for this morning. He took a fall over the weekend from a scooter and had a concussion. So he's been on rest today, and I believe he's on the amends. He's getting better little by little. I said in the prayer this morning, boys will be boys, and that is a truth. That's why it's so hard to handle boys. I remember growing up being a little boy playing in the woods and doing things, and Mom. I have a brother, and it was hard to control us boys. You know, we've had cuts and bruises and head bangs and all kinds of things, but nonetheless, we're praying for you, Ryder, and we love you, buddy, and we know that you'll recover fully, and so praying for you. Let's continue to remember everyone on our prayer list, and we had special prayer for him, and also Brother Harold this morning. Praying for him, praying for all of our shut-ins. Special prayer tonight for Miss Betty Berry and Brother Alan, Miss Terry, as they take care of her. Miss Cassie Karanovich, Barbara Anderson, and many, many other prayers out there. The Daly's, Jim Daly, Miss Dawn Daly, and the list goes on and on as I will forget someone. So I do want to mention that Jeff and Sharon Hodges mentioned to me this morning that their son-in-law Chris is going this coming week for another endoscopy test on his esophagus, and the doctors are really urging him for surgery, but they're wanting, of course, as anyone would, wanting to be healed. But you know, there's a window of time that you have to go by. He's dealing with cancer, and so there's a window of time that they need to, he needs to be healed, or he needs to have surgery. So let's remember him in our prayers, and let's remember our world tonight and the situation that we're in. God's still in control. He's on the throne. That's not just a cliche. That's Bible truth tonight, and that's what we're building our lives on. And so I do not know how the lost people do it, those without Jesus, but that's how we do it. We're building our life on a firm foundation, and that's the only life to build that I'm aware of. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we're going to turn it over to Brother Randy, and we hope that you'll be blessed tonight through this service this evening. Father, we just pause this evening for a moment and just remain still and say thank you for the service this morning. Lord, there were some who came to us and said that they were helped from the subject we preached from, the subject of encouraging yourself in the Lord. Lord, help me always remember every time that I preach that to preach where people live at, to preach where people are. That's my heartbeat, Lord, is to just minister to people right where they're at on a daily basis. Not to be one of these high-heady brainiacs. But Lord, if I can just reach a heart, reach a soul, to minister, Lord, and help somebody lighten their load through the Word of God, Lord, I believe my mission is accomplished. And tonight, Lord, we continue to pray for Little Ryder that you'll touch him in a mighty way and bless him and his precious family. Bless Brother Harold. Touch him, God. He's precious to us in Calvary. Miss Betty, all those on the prayer list, you know who they are. Bless our nation. Bless our world. You already have. It's time for our world to bless you. God, we know that America's time is very short unless they repent. And Lord, we know that you are allowing things to happen to make it easy for America to repent. Lord, let it be. Let it be. Let America repent. Father, tonight we ask for a fresh touch, fresh oil, so that we can preach the Word of God tonight to help someone watching and to help my family and friends that are here tonight. We love you. We thank you for who you are and for what you do and have done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bethlehem, Calvary, Olivet Town. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Mountain and plain, with his praises shall swell. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Unto the uttermost, wonderful, glorious. Oh, what a Savior is mine. There on the cross, where he died for my sin. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Giving his life a poor wonder to win. Oh, what a Savior. Burdens Wonderful and he's glorious. Oh, what a Savior is mine. And oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. And oh, what a Savior is mine. See, he's wonderful and he's glorious, and oh, what a Savior is mine.
What a blessing tonight. Amen. Thank you, Brother Randy, for that song this evening. And oh, what a Savior is mine and is yours. If you have your Bibles tonight, we want to be in the Old Testament again. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 22. Genesis 22, and I want to look at one verse as our starting verse tonight. Familiar story, very familiar story. I told someone this morning that whenever I'm studying, pondering what to preach on, I wait for a certain ring upon my heart, and that's how I know. And I definitely have that ring for tonight out of Genesis 22. Genesis 22, and I want to read verse number 1. I want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to read one verse. Father, we come in Jesus' name, and Lord, we're thankful that you're the Savior of the world, but we pray for the next few moments that you would help us to look into this verse and a few more verses. Lord, we don't want to just reiterate this story, but we feel as though we have a message for your people, something they can bear witness to get them through these tough times. Pray that you would help me be that vehicle, which to be a blessing. We love you, and we thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Genesis 22, and then notice if you would in verse number 1. Genesis 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. I want to stop reading there. And that's reading Genesis 22 in verse number 1. I want to say this evening, by way of introduction, since the birth of Isaac things have been great in their parent, child, son relationship. Abraham has been watching him and protecting him. And, of course, Isaac, as we know, is the vehicle, or he's the conduit by which Jesus would one day come into the world. Isaac is the promised seed. We know that. And so up until this particular point in the life of Abraham and Sarah, things have been good since Isaac came along. We know that Isaac had been protected and watched. Isaac has been loved and adored. But then came this fateful day when God called upon Abraham, and this was a call that no one wanted. It was a call when God was asking for Isaac. You see, it was Isaac by which Jesus would come, and Isaac was being protected by Abraham and Sarah. Isaac was being watched and adored. And some say that Isaac was probably in his teen years here, maybe even 20 years old. And so Abraham and Sarah were getting closer and closer to the day that Isaac would be married, and that he would produce seed, and so forth and so on. And so now Abraham received this call from God, and then God requested that of Isaac. And this was a call that Abraham didn't necessarily want. And it's a call that nobody wants. It's the call in life when situations occur that challenges our faith. It's the call when we're put to the test and the faith that we have is challenged. So we see that one faithful day, God called upon Abraham with a call that no one wants. He was asking for Isaac. It must have been confusing. It must have been emotional for Abraham. Scripture doesn't indicate that. But if you think about it, Abraham must have been emotional. And tonight I want to preach for a few moments on this subject. The biggest test yet. The biggest test yet. Think about it. Now, since Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees in the very beginning, when he first got saved and God called him, no doubt he had some big tests. And in all of those things, when he left, and him and Sarah left, and then they went to a certain location, and he built an altar unto the Lord. And then there was a famine in the land, and then they went to Egypt. And then it was at that point that Abraham lied and said Sarah was his sister so that she wouldn't be taken from the people of the land. Then they were kicked out of Egypt. All kinds of things happened. And then there was Sodom and Gomorrah, and he rescued Lot. All kinds of tests and challenges took place in the life of Abraham. But then there was the time when Isaac came along. And it was a promised seed. You remember leading up to that point where they were desirous of this promised seed. And it was even the handmaid, Hagar, when certainly they thought that, at that particular point in their life that I believe it was a young man in their house, and Abraham thought that this young man was the promised seed, and it wasn't. But then Sarai at a particular point thought possibly that Hagar should be the one because they were up in age, and then Ishmael came. No, that wasn't the one. And so all of that happened, all that confusion. And then finally Isaac came. And then Isaac was being raised, and then he was weaned from childhood, and he was being watched and being nurtured. And so there were some good years in his life. There was some stability. Here the promised seed is. He's growing up. He's being weaned. He's being nurtured. He's not a young man anymore. He's in his teen years. We have been through some things in life. We've been through some challenges. There was Lot, and then there was Ishmael. And now we have the promised seed, Isaac. He's been weaned from being nurtured. He's growing up now. I've watched him. I've protected him. But now God has called upon me to present him a sacrifice. This is the biggest test yet. I wonder tonight if there's anyone who is facing the biggest test you've ever faced in your life. No doubt as a nation and a world, we have and we are facing the biggest test we've ever faced. The entire globe in this world, we are all facing this pandemic and many other things for the very first time. But maybe in your family, maybe at your job, maybe some kind of individual situation or problem, you are facing the biggest test ever. Things were going fine for a while, but now God has seemingly allowed something to transpire in your life. Maybe he's not the author of it, but maybe he has allowed it to happen. Here tonight we see in verse number 1 that God is putting Abraham to the test. Now, I want to say that he is not tempting Abraham to do evil, but he is laying out an opportunity for Abraham to prove his faith. Not to prove his faith necessarily to God, because God knows what Abraham's going to do. But it's a quality test that for Abraham to know what Abraham's going to do. You see, there's times in life where God allows us to go through tests so that we may grow in our test. So that we may be able to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, man, I wish I would have done better in that test. Or, wow, I didn't believe I would do that good in that test. And so that's what we have here this evening in verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Tonight I want to mention a few things that pertain unto this big test as of yet. And I hope it'll be a blessing and a help to you. The biggest test yet. Number 1, I want you to notice the timing of this test. The timing of this test. Verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things. After these things. What does he mean after these things? Well, what he's talking about is after the events that took place in Abraham's life. Now, no doubt he's talking about after Abraham's salvation and after he left the Ur of the Chaldees and after he lied about Sarah being his sister. Yeah, he's talking about all those things. But I believe more specifically he's talking about after the birth of Isaac. And after he was weaned from the being nurtured as a young baby, and after he grew some, and after he was nurtured as a young man, and now he is a teenage young man. After these things, you see, after these things meant that some time had lapsed from since the birth of Isaac. It indicates that there were some good days that went by. It indicates that there was a birth that took place some years ago. And Isaac was born. And some time had passed. And now Isaac was at older age, possibly a teenager. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And so the timing of this test is after these things. And I want to say tonight, church, that many times is the case. Is we can go a long period of time and everything is fine and well. We can go a long period of time in life and things can go continually. Everything can be okay. But then a test can come. And then a trial can come. But you see, when trials and tests come that are from the Lord, they're not designed to hurt us, but they're designed to help us and to allow growth to develop in our lives, you see. And it came to pass after these things, the scriptures say. And so we see tonight the timing of the test after these things. I want to mention a second thing tonight. Not only the timing of this test, but number two, the type of this test. Notice if you would in verse 2. He says, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. So we looked at the timing of this test, and it's after these things. But now the type of this test. What kind of test was it? Well, he says in verse number 2, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. The type of test was a love test. You see, the Lord was asking for Isaac. And Isaac was the child that Abraham absolutely, positively loved. When Isaac came, he knew he was the promised seed. And then, the moment he was born, he watched him. As he was being nurtured, he guarded him. I'm telling you, he protected him. He guarded him. Every day he would watch him, guard him, protect him, nurture him. Think about it. If you knew that your child was a promised seed, you wouldn't let anything happen to that child because you knew that they were the promised seed. The days, the weeks, the months, the years went by. Nothing but peace, nothing but safety, nothing but love in the home, and nothing but joy. So we see that there was a father-son relationship here. Nothing but love. And so Abraham felt as though they were moving forward in their life. But then, the biggest test yet. The biggest test ever. Verse number 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. What? Are you kidding? One moment the Lord is promising a promised seed through which all the world will be blessed. And now the Lord is saying, I want you to offer him, the scriptures say, excuse me, as a burnt offering. Now, Abraham could have been confused here. Abraham could have retreated on God here and took his son and went elsewhere. Listen, this was the biggest test yet for Abraham. And I believe in life we experience tests, maybe not of this magnitude, but on other fashions. And I don't know, maybe on this magnitude, but other fashions. And listen, faith will be required. And sometimes it appears as though God is contradicting himself. But make no mistake about it, church, God is not contradicting himself. But sometimes we find that our biggest test in life, we find ourselves in those situations. And they are stressful. And they are straining. But you see, I believe if the Lord is at the helm of those situations, it's only to test our faith. And that is to allow us to grow in faith. We see that this type of this test had to do with Abraham taking Isaac, the one whom he loved. The Bible says, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. It was a love test. Let me ask you tonight, church, what is it in your life that you love the most that God may be requiring of you? What is it? There's a song, I'm not sure really what the official title is, by C.T. Townsend, Becky Townsend. When I Lay My Isaac Down, something along those lines. Beautiful, beautiful song. And it carries a clear message that sometimes in life, we have this Abraham-Isaac scenario. It's where there is something in our life that we absolutely love, 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 yet God wants that thing. He wants it. And this is what we call the love test. The love test. And so God, he asked Abraham in verse number 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And so the type of test is a love test. This test would detect what degree of faith Abraham had. It was an opportunity to grow. Let me mention the third thing tonight. Number one, the timing of this test. Number two, the type of this test. But then number three, the testimony of this test. In verse number 14, and we know what happens. Abraham was obedient, and we're leaving a lot out of this tonight for the main emphasis here. But we know Abraham was obedient. He went upon the mountain and he obeyed the Lord. And as he went down with the dagger, we know that there was a ram caught in the thicket by the horn. God supplied the substitute. But in verse number 14, the scriptures say, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now, we know the name Jehovah Jireh means provider, or the Lord provides. And so the testimony, because of this test, is that Abraham was able to say, God provides. Listen, church, the biggest tests in life do not leave us without experience. God allows us to go through tests as he did Abraham, and Abraham is left with an education that says, I know that God provides. You may be in the biggest test of your life tonight, but you can rest assured that God is giving you an education. You will be able to say, if you comply with the teacher, you will be able to say, Jehovah Jireh, at the end of your test that God provides. You see, in this story, Abraham had gone through a lot in his life, Abraham and Sarah. And then Isaac finally came. And things were well and things were smooth and Isaac grew to maturity. And then that faithful day came. I can't stress that enough tonight. That faithful day came when the Lord said, at least in verse number 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, that faithful day, out of nowhere, everything was going fine, Abraham. And he said unto, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. I was wondering today when Abraham said, here I am, what was coming after he said, here I am. I'm sure Abraham had no idea after Abraham said, here I am, what was coming next. The Lord said, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. Abraham had no idea what was coming next. But you know, the Bible says, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I'll tell thee of. Verse number 3 says this, and Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up, and went into the place of which God had told him, did not question, did not run the opposite way, but he went. You see, Abraham, his faith was strong. Yeah, he may have had confusion, he may have had disturbing emotions. The scriptures don't indicate that. But at the end of the day, this was the biggest test yet. Some of you that may be watching may be experiencing the biggest test of your life. And I want to say tonight, as we get ready to close a bit early, in fact, I want to say tonight that the Lord only allows these kind of tests in your life, in my life, to grow us, not to hurt us. It's a test to reveal the strength of our faith in the area, in the room we need to grow our faith. But you know, at the end of the day, Abraham learned and was able to say that God is Jehovah Jireh. He's a provider. And that's the kind of education we'll receive at the end of our test. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you. We finished early, but Lord, I feel that's all we need to say tonight. I pray if there's someone listening that possibly was in deep waters of testing and trial, that maybe they have received some help. That's all we wanted to do is be of help. And I pray that this story that was said in few words, Lord, was of a help to them tonight. We love you. We thank you, Lord. We praise you for who you are and for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.